Holy, here we go again, Batman.
Hello, human brains, and welcome to the NerdSync Podcast, episode number 12. This is another one-on-one I did with my friend Nick, not the Nick that you know from the podcast, because contrary to popular belief, there are more than one person named Nick. I was pleasantly surprised to find this out because prior to this event, I thought they were the same person. Turns out they're not. That's what I learned this week. So we talked about Quidditch, which he plays IRL, and we talked about Die Hard and science, because we like all of these things. So what better reason to talk about them, really? Thank you guys for showing us love on the iTunes and the Twitters and the Facebooks, and we have an announcement. You can actually do it now on YouTube. We're putting the full episodes up on YouTube, as well as little clips from the show that we think are funny. So, you know, go check that out at our NerdSync Productions channel and the NerdSync Podcast channel. That's the channel that will have the full episodes. And so without any further ado, let's get to today's episode because, you know, science.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
I don't know if you've listened to the podcast before, but we don't really have any sort of crazy format. We just kind of do whatever. So I guess we could just get it started. If that's all right with you.
All right.
So would you like to introduce yourself to everyone in the internet world?
My name is Nick Battellini, and I'm a sophomore at USC. And I guess we can kick it off with I'm a member of the undefeated USC Quidditch team.
Yes, that's something that I definitely wanted to talk about.
Absolutely.
That's so awesome. So what, you'll have to forgive me because I've never seen any one of these Quidditch matches in real life, so explain how that all goes down.
Well, it is a growing phenomenon amongst colleges. It's two teams of seven. They play on a pitch of about 30 yards, mm-hmm. and there's three sets of hoops of PVC pipe. And you play with three chasers, one keeper, two beaters, and a seeker. Now, the quaffle mm-hmm. is a slightly deflated volleyball. There's only one of those. Only the chasers and the keepers can touch those.
Okay.
The bludgers, there's three of them, and they're dodgeballs. And that's so that no one team can control all of the bludgers.
Okay.
And then your snitch, which is what everybody asks about.
Yeah, what's that? How's that work?
It's a neutral third person, not from either one of the teams, who wears a yellow shirt. And the IQA actually makes like a special snitch for it. Usually what people just do is throw a tennis ball in a sock and that gets tucked in your shorts.
Okay.
And what happens is start the match, everybody's in a brooms down position. So they're all on the ground, looking straight at the ground, holding onto the broom. The ref will say, snitch is released. And the snitch can do pretty much whatever he wants and go wherever he wants.
Anywhere at all?
They try and keep it. Like with some smaller colleges, it'll be the whole campus or just the rec field.
Okay.
But he can do pretty much whatever he wants except for going buildings.
All right.
Now, snitches will ride bikes. They'll bring powdered sugar and throw it at the seekers, Nerf guns.
That's awesome.
They can do whatever they want. So after the snitch is released, as soon as he's outside of the field of vision, then they'll say, brooms up.
Mm-hmm.
On the brooms up, it's go time. Everybody's rushing because the balls start out on the midline.
Okay.
So everybody rushes from brooms up, gets their respective ball, and tries to do whatever with it. It's a very physical sport.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, my nickname is The Truth, as in you just got hit with.
That's awesome.
Because it is. There's tackling, there's trucking, there's everything.
Man, do people get like seriously injured in the game?
I have yet to see such an injury.
All right.
We've only played two games. But I imagine, as with anything that involves contact, there is prone to injury.
Naturally. So, would you say, what position do you play?
I am a chaser.
All right.
They're the ones who handle the quaffle and try to score.
Oh, okay.
You can only, as a chaser, you can tackle other chasers
mm-hmm.
or the keeper if he's outside of the keeper zone, which is kind of like the goalie box in soccer. If the keeper's inside the keeper zone, nobody can touch him. You can't beat him with a bludger. But if he leaves the keeper zone, because he can essentially be a fourth keeper or fourth chaser.
Okay.
If he leaves, then he's open game.
Huh.
And if you get beat with a bludger, You have to drop any ball you're carrying. You dismount your broom, because you have to be riding a broom at all times.
Right.
And you have to go back to your own hoops and touch them, and then you're ready to go back in.
I have a question about the brooms. Are they like old-timey brooms, or do you see people with just like regular old, like...
Now they do make actual brooms that look just like the ones that are in Harry Potter.
Oh, that's cool.
If you play enough and if you're a fan, mine, I bought a $5 broomstick at Ace and then put some duct tape bristles on.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. I like that.
So, I mean, there are people who, we just played UNCC and their whole team just used pieces of PVC pipe with caps on the end as brooms.
That's interesting. See, my brother plays Quidditch, I think, as well. And like he said that like he just started like a year or something ago, and that was like the first time I ever heard like that this is a thing you can do in real life. Like I'm so confused about it.
It's growing. There's there's quite a few teams in South Carolina. Like I said, yeah. We just played UNCC, who's from North Carolina, but we in that game too we played Winthrop. And
that's where he is. That's where he goes.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, keep an eye out for him.
Yeah.
This Saturday, we're going to play Chapin, Furman, Coastal Carolina, and College of Charleston.
Wow. So is this like, you're saying it's growing. Is it, because I know, obviously it's in South Carolina everywhere. Is it throughout like more states, more maybe everywhere?
Oh, it's all over the world.
Oh, wow.
But there is the IQ80, International Quidditch Association.
Oh, it's a real thing.
Yes, it is. They set the rules. There's a logo. It's awesome.
That's awesome. Is there like a big giant Quidditch championship?
The World Cup.
Oh, okay.
The World Cup.
That's awesome.
I think this year it's in Florida, and we're looking to go to that.
That would be so cool. So, that sounds absolutely awesome.
But time for the shameless plug of the night.
Go for it.
We need money, and we're fundraising all the time on the USC campus.
That's awesome. So,
it's mighty fun.
I bet it looks pretty cool because I'm not a very athletic person. I don't know if you could tell, but yeah.
That's the interesting thing, because you do see this interesting blend of, yeah, I'm a jock, but I also love the Harry Potter series, so I'm a little bit of a nerd too.
Yeah. That's what's kind of interesting to me, because like you'll ask anybody, I don't understand sports at all. Like I'll be like, yeah, go color team. Like I only know the teams by colors. I don't know what they actually are.
Let's go red guys.
Yeah, go red team. Score that point unit. So I think watching Quidditch, I think that'd be kind of an interesting thing to both participate and to watch. Cause I mean, do you have a lot of spectators? Do people come out and watch you?
Absolutely. It's usually whatever hosting school obviously has home field advantage because everybody's right there. Mm-hmm. But I didn't expect it. We get there and everybody's going off to see their parents, see their girlfriend who drove up for the game.
Wow. That's awesome.
But it's really hard to watch because
there's a lot going on at once.
Absolutely. Like in football or in soccer, you're just following the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But in Quidditch, there's four balls plus a snitch.
That can go anywhere.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's all over. Usually you watch the snitch if you can see them, just because of the crazy antics they can get into. But like as a chaser, I'm usually watching the quaffle. I imagine the beaters are watching the bludgers.
Yeah. So you kind of have that almost a little like zone where you're like, it honestly doesn't like super affect me what this guy's doing, but I got to focus on what these people are doing.
Yeah, because it is such a dynamic game and they usually last for about 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You have to watch, like if you see, okay, that chaser right there, he likes to be aggressive. So I know if I go in, I'm going to be actually aggressive against him.
Right.
So you sort of pick up on their strategies.
That's interesting. Do you guys keep when a couple friends of mine, they play like baseball and they keep a stats book, like a book of stats. Do you guys do that? Are there Quidditch stats?
To my knowledge, there is not. However, the officers during practice usually have a notebook. So as far, hey, I might have Quidditch cards coming out.
Oh,
that would be so awesome.
That would be so cool. Do you think that's going to turn into, because obviously, like you said, it's growing. Do you think it's going to turn into something where, you know, you have to have that Quidditch player's Quidditch card or collectibles and such?
I don't know. There certainly is a following behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll be on ESPN 8 Yo Show.
Maybe.
Who knows? But not there, it very well could become a professional, you know, it might be bigger than the Super Bowl.
And you get scholarships for Quidditch. And
That'd be unbelievable.
That'd be so
cool. With my luck, it'll happen the first year after I graduate.
Oh, but that's, I don't know, just the whole thing kind of like, do you have more athletic people or more nerdy people? Or did you think it's like all the people are both?
See, and you say that, and I instantly think of, you know, the 1970s sitcom where little Poindexter with his pocket protectors and shirts is getting picked on by the guy with the Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
But it's not. I mean, you know, I'd like to think I don't come off as a nerd. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are definitely, usually everybody on the team has some sort of athletic background. We've got guys who played soccer. We've got guys who ran track.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all just fans of Harry Potter who now, instead of doing something as famous as like soccer or track, they're doing something that, while it requires the same athletic ability, they also get to have a little bit of that little nerdy flavor that they love. And also, it's awesome to say, yeah, I play Quidditch, what about it?
Yeah. So, do you guys have like team names, or is it just kind of like your college Quidditch team?
It is just the college Quidditch team for us. I don't know if there is a Chudley Cannons team out there, but we are just the Gamecocks.
Okay.
The undefeated Gamecocks.
There you go. How many games?
Say that well.
How many games have you played so far this season?
Played two.
Two, one undefeated.
Yep, this last Saturday was the first day out. We played Winthrop and UNCC.
That's awesome. And do you usually win? Because if I remember from Harry Potter, it usually depends on the winner is usually whoever gets the snitch. But it can be without.
There are catch the snitch, lose the game scenarios.
Okay.
Because every goal through the hoops is 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
The snitch catch is 30 points.
Okay.
Now, in the books, though, snitch catch was
100 points. Oh, 150. That's right.
Yeah. They had to lower that down so that it wasn't that much of a, you know.
I was going to say, you could just, what's the, like, you said the games are usually about like 25 minutes. Have there ever been like someone who like instantaneously catches the snitch within like the first 5 minutes?
Well, it's interesting because your snitch can be one of two types of people.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you either see snitches be somebody who's really fast, you know, 90 pounds, no body fat whatsoever.
Right.
Or you see guys who used to wrestle and can just throw people around because they're allowed to, if the seeker's coming after them, they can push them down, they can knock them down, they can do whatever.
That's crazy.
But like every 20, 25 minutes, the snitch has to come back to the pitch for 2 minutes. So that's why you usually see it being 25 minutes.
Okay, so it can't just go out in the woods somewhere and hide and the game will never end. And
No Ramboing allowed.
Is there a time limit that'll be like, even if nobody can catch the snitch, it'll be like, all right, that's, we got to call it anyway? Or is it just
not
whenever?
Not to my knowledge.
So it's just whenever the snitch is caught, the game's over.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I just love it. I love the whole concept of nerdy people. I mean, it, like, even now in today, like you were talking about how like the whole 70s Poindexter and all that, even like today, it's not as bad.
No, you don't see that anymore.
Yeah. It's not really bad to be a nerd. You can be a nerd. You can call yourself a nerd and you can just do whatever. And people are
highest grossing film recently was the Avengers,
mm-hmm.
and that's that's nerdy comic book stuff, but you saw, you know, entire football teams going to see it together.
Exactly.
That was the cool thing. So now I guess nerdy is becoming cool.
It is, because I remember when I saw the Avengers, there were so many, I took my friends, like we all went together and we were all like, this is so cool. But then there was like a whole bunch of other people that obviously didn't really know what was going on. So like they're like, I just like the action and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Whatever. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm better than you because I, you know this stuff, but it was really fun to see, like, you know, the end scene with Thanos, how he just kind of, he was sitting in his chair and he turned around and everyone was just kind of like, who's that guy? Someone actually, my favorite quote of the night, when I saw that midnight premiere, someone turned around and goes, "Where's a nerd? Who can tell me who that was?" And I was like,
"That is fantastic."
It was wonderful. I just love stuff like that.
Now, see, I didn't grow up with comic books.
Mm-hmm.
That was just never something that we were into.
Right.
But I will say I'm sort of regretting it now because, you know, I see the Avengers and then I go and read about this, like, cause if I'm going to watch a movie, it has to be from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't watch it starting halfway through and pick up the first half later. I can't watch, like, I can't see Iron Man 2 before I see Iron Man 1.
Exactly.
It has to be the progression. And so that's, I see the progression in the theaters, but then I also go and do my research and read about things that were actually supposed to happen. And I have read a few comics since, mm-hmm. That I guess were just left out that a lot of people wish were in the movies. But
right. Yeah. I got you. It's like whenever people do a comic book movie, they tend to kind of base it off of a comic or like a story arc in a comic. And then, but you know, obviously a couple of things will change. So you have like, I believe Iron Man 2 is based off of Iron Man Demon in a Bottle storyline where he just gets really drunk and everything. And so it's kind of like,
see, I know things like in Spider-Man 2, when he wanted to stop being Spider-Man, there was, I think Amazing Spider-Man 52 was Spidey No More,
mm-hmm.
where he did hang it up, but that wasn't that was like one thing they wanted to include. So I imagine it's sort of in this span of comics,
yeah.
What do we want to do
exactly?
Pull in this, and this as the main storyline, and then branch out.
That's exactly right, and that's something that I loved, and a lot of people kind of give crap to Sam Raimi's Spider-Man trilogy because of how it ended, I guess, really. And, you know, a couple of things, how it's not quite so good with it's not as accurate to the comic books as, you know, as it could be. But I mean, there's a lot of scenes where you take from it and it's exactly like the panel. You can compare the panel of the comic book to the scene and it's almost, it looks exactly like it. And that's what I love about that. And
yeah, no, that's pretty cool to me. But see, I've always been a story fan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool to see the story from the comic books put on screen.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also necessary to sort of, you know, adapt it to the screen, you know?
Right.
Whereas not just do a carbon copy from the book to the screen.
I gotcha.
Sort of add some more. And I think also what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it a broaden the audience almost.
Yep. They want to hit all the audience. They want to hit the kids. They want to give something for the adults.
Absolutely.
They want to get everything
which
in there.
Surprisingly is not that hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly a nerdy or comic book thing, but Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
I went to see it with my parents and my little brother. I thought I was going to be the only not parent there. Full of people my age.
Really?
And not a dry eye in the theater.
I gotta tell you, I don't cry at movies very often. I've cried at like two, I think. And that one didn't make me cry, but I was so close. Like I was verge. Yeah, yeah.
But I was getting misty.
Yeah, I was getting misty eyed. But there were only two movies that have ever made me just sob. And I don't want to, I don't know if people will question my manliness now, not that I have manliness, but,
take a shot.
All right. So the two movies, one of them's going to seem weird and the other one's kind of understandable. So my dog had just died and this movie came on TV and it was Marley and Me I think that's understandable.
Yeah. Ow.
Gosh. This was a dog that I've had for years. And then he dies. And then like the day after Marley and Me comes on and I'm like,
come on universe.
And I'm like, I've never seen any trailers to it. And like the ones I have made it seem like it's like a heartfelt like comedy or something.
See, I have a huge problem with Marley and Me because of that. Cause they built it up to be sort of a family. It's all fun. It's a story about a dog and their family.
Exactly.
And then in the end, no, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah. Like it was one of those things where I'm like, hey, a movie about a dog, and maybe it'll be like funny moments about a dog. Make me think about the good times I had with my dog.
Yeah.
And nope. I mean, it was a great movie. I love it. It was very well done.
No, it was a quality movie. It just wasn't what
it was advertised to be, something that it wasn't. And it made me sad. Very, very sad.
Now, see, I instantly wonder if that's what they did with the old Yeller.
Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder if they have, like, there's probably like trailers to old Yeller, like, up on YouTube.
Somewhere on the YouTube.
Probably. That'd be something good to find out. I don't know. Has a movie ever made you just sob like crazy?
I can't say I remember it,
mm-hmm.
but every time it's on TV, my mother is forced to remind me. Apparently, when I was a youngin',
mm-hmm.
we went to see the Godzilla with Matthew Broderick in it.
Okay.
Now, you got to think that was back when I was 5 or 6 years old. Apparently, at the end, in the movie theater, I was bawling my eyes out, screaming.
Really?
He was just hungry.
Oh, that's
now,
so sad.
I don't remember that, but I can't imagine my mother would lie to me that many times.
That's hilarious, though, because that's one of those things, like, that it's not necessarily like a sad, like, it's not a sad movie, but you were just like, he's so misunderstood. Gosh, I hate stuff like that. I can't, like, I don't know. I'll tell my other movie that made me cry, and this one will be weird to some people, or most people, or all people, but basically it was a cartoon. I don't know when it came out. It wasn't super duper long ago. Treasure Planet. Do you remember that one?
I think I remember that.
I honestly don't remember anything that happens in the movie, but there was one montage that showed that this kid was like, how basically when he was a little kid, his dad just like left him. And it was like, they put it to like the saddest music, and it was like this cartoony kid, so it already looked really like innocent and sad. And like, it was just so, I was in the house all alone, and I was like, this will be a fun movie to watch. And then by that part in the scene, I was just like, why, dad, why? So,
that's great. So, no, actually, I can't say that I cry,
mm-hmm.
but any movie with an inspirational speech or something that's supposed to make you rise up, that gets me going so hard. Like, one of my favorite movies of all time, Rudy, which you said you weren't into sports.
I have seen that movie. They made me watch that in high school. So,
really?
Yeah. It was some stupid class that I don't think they can justify now. But they basically just kind of made us watch movies that were, I guess, inspirational. And that was one of them. And so
it was a very inspiring. It had Sean Astin, who played Samwise Gamgee of the Shire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the story of this kid who grew up, and his father was a huge Notre Dame fan, and he goes and he gets accepted to Notre Dame, and he wants to play on the football team, but he doesn't, but they don't let him because he's 5'0" and 100-0, but he's all heart. it gets you. It's as a matter of fact, and I didn't know, I hope this is the thing that we continue to do,
mm-hmm.
but just before the game started Saturday at Quidditch, mm-hmm. one of the officers busted out the speech from Return of the King. But it is not this day. So awesome.
Oh, gosh. That's so cool. And speaking of all of that awesome sauce, are you going to... how excited for you about the Hobbit that's going to be coming out?
The Hobbit? Now,
So not that excited.
I will get
then.
Some hatred for it, I'm sure.
Oh, please. I told everyone that I didn't like Dark Knight Rises.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
I don't like Christian Bale.
Fair enough.
Do like the way that they're portraying Batman, mm-hmm. instead of being the sort of cute, cuddly Adam West Batman. He is becoming what he was supposed to be. He is the Dark Knight, the one who was willing to do what the law enforcement wouldn't. Sort of evil, but not.
Right.
That makes sense. I have read none of the books in the Lord of the Rings series.
Right.
And I haven't seen the movie since I was of cognitive age.
Okay.
That makes sense. Like, if you've ever seen a movie when you were a kid and you see it when you're older, it's a different movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I've yet to do that. It is on my to-do list.
Yeah.
I have a decent movie list that I'm working my way through. But it will get done. My brother is a huge fan. He is very excited for it. Me, not so much. I am much more interested. I know you want to talk about it. Let's go ahead and segue into this, son of a...
Yeah.
Good Day to Die Hard.
Heck yes.
Valentine's Day. I don't care if I'm single in a relationship. Valentine's Day, I'm watching Good Day to Die Hard.
That's so... I'm super excited. I saw the trailer like 8 times before we started recording just to make sure I didn't miss anything.
I heard about it about a year before they released the trailer.
Oh, gosh.
And apparently Bruce Willis did an interview. He was like, yeah, I want to do 5 and then 6 and that be it.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see how John McClane as a character has evolved, because in the first 3, he was all pretty much the same guy. He was just some New York cop who didn't really have any special skills. He was just wrong place, wrong time.
Always put in these bad situations.
He just rose up to that hero level.
Yeah.
And then Live Free or Die Hard, one of the biggest criticisms anybody has about it, is he's some super crazy hero guy who can kill helicopters with cars.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was truly a modern day action movie.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Die Hards really aren't. They're more about the story than the true action. But this one, you know, explosions every 5 minutes.
Yep.
Crazy stuff. But it was still, I think that was just, you know, because if they showed him, whereas in the first 3, he was going against guys who were, you know, 30, 40 years old who were in the same boat that he was in.
Right.
Now he's going against cyber terrorists who know all about computer shit that he doesn't know anything about, you know, so he's getting to see, he has sort of adapt. So that's why I think it'll be interesting to see what they do with Good Day to Die.
Absolutely. And I think Bruce Willis had said a while ago that Live Free Die Hard was actually one of his favorite Die Hards to be in. He thought it was cool. And he said, like, the weird part about it was that I think it was the only one that was rated PG-13, whereas the other ones were rated R.
Really?
Because I feel like they toned down the language just a little bit, and that was enough to give it a PG-13.
Okay.
I'll double check that, but I feel like that's accurate. And that's another thing. I really, really loved Justin Long's character in Live Free, Die Hard. I could relate to him. That's all it was.
I can't say anything bad about him, but he was an interesting character.
He played the part well, I feel like.
Definitely. Because, I mean, I think he's just, you know, some squirrely little nerd from Long Island.
Exactly. Like, you know? I can't relate to big, muscly John McClane other than, oh, yeah, I understand that he would do anything to, you know, like, in that movie,
save
his daughter. And I'm like, yeah, I could totally, I could relate to that. You know, I would do stuff to save the people I love. But then it's like, you have Justin Long, who's like, I'm just going to hack into this. Like, every time that he told John McClane that he, like, that every, something that he knew was wrong, like, he'd be like, oh, the satellites are down, the phones work fine. I'd be like, that's something that... Like, it's funny to be like, oh, he's such an old person. Like, he doesn't know how technology works, whatever.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. I mean, because if you've ever seen somebody who didn't, you know, you and I were both raised in the technology era. We can both, you know, just hop on any computer
exactly.
and go straight for it. Whereas, you know,
yeah,
I'm having to teach my mother how to write an email.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what life was before the internet. Like, I can't, I honestly can't remember it.
There was something there.
There had to have been, right?
Activity, something that took up this giant chunk of time.
I'm pretty sure history existed before the internet, or else what would...
Yeah,
I mean, they have
something.
They have stuff on the internet about life before the internet, so...
Yeah, but nobody reads that. They're too busy looking at cats.
Exactly.
That's what the internet is. It's cats.
It's cats. It's literally...
Cats and Facebook.
All it is like, people... It's just people hating on each other and then cats. That's all it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
watch, we'll have gotten something wrong. People will be like, no, you totally get
I
no,
do that. I say that all the time. I'll say something wrong because I'll just be talking and my brain can't do things. And I'm trying to store so much information up here that I'm bound to get something wrong. Like,
right.
For example, I could have gotten that Live Free Die Hard is actually an R-rated movie, not a PG-13. I could have gotten that completely wrong. And then there'll be people who are just like, this guy's an idiot. Oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh, trolls.
Exactly.
And so,
although I will say I wish it were on the internet. Just a couple hours ago, mm-hmm. the greatest insult back and forth happened ever.
Really?
It was just real quick. This guy's walking down the hall. He turns the corner, bumps into this lady. She goes, oh, excuse me. He goes, nah, it's all right. I bumped into other uglier people, if you know what I mean, trying to be, you know, all smooth and player like.
Oh.
And she goes, yeah, I do know what you mean, but I'm sorry that I can't say it about you. And I overheard it. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, I want to high five her so bad right now. Because that was brilliant.
And yeah.
It wasn't, let me give me a minute and I'll think about it. It was bam right there.
Instantaneous. Those are the best ones. Like, wait.
So much. And the internet has ruined that. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime anybody's arguing with me, I sit there and I draft out my argument and yep. I check all my facts. Because, make sure I didn't spell anything
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, that's the worst one, is when you spell something wrong or you do something grammatically incorrect, and then they'll just be like, I can't understand anything you're saying. I can't take you seriously because you don't know your stuff.
See, and that's not an argument for me because I have gigantic hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I will push 4 keys at one time.
Mm-hmm. And like I type so fast that things in my brain translate onto the keyboard differently. Yeah, like the other...
Get letters somewhere in the middle of a thing.
I'll add letters sometimes, and then, like, anything... what are those things? Homonyms? Things that sound the same, but are spelled differently?
Yeah, like sun.
Yeah, I'll do that a lot, and I don't mean to, but it's just how my... I mean, I'm just typing so fast, and I got a lot of stuff going through my brain that'll happen. So one day on Facebook, you know Cody, right?
I do.
All right, so I was on Facebook. I was on his Facebook. He posted something. He said, something around the lines of, we should finally let people, like, we should finally start enforcing the fact that Frankenstein is the creator and the monster is Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was like, yeah, and I posted out of that. That bugs me to no end. But I spelled no, K-N-O-W, because I was just thinking too fast and I was typing really fast.
Right.
And then someone under that goes... does like the little, spells it correctly, N-O, and there's a little star, the asterisk, and he goes, couldn't resist, that was just too ironic. And I was like, really, buddy? Really? That makes me feel so bad that, like, I'm an idiot. Like, no, but...
It's just one of those things, like, I'll be typing while the TV's on in the background.
Yeah.
And concentration will fade from what I'm typing to the TV, and so I'll just be typing. So the Russian Revolution of 1905 is very interesting because... Tony loves Ziva or something random.
Yeah, it'll translate to whatever you're listening to or watching to, and then you'll just start typing it out. And it bugs me because, like, I know that what I wrote was wrong, but I can't go back and change it because already someone pointed it out. And if I go back and change it, like I edit it and be like, no, this I really meant this. They'll be like, oh yeah, whatever, idiot. And I'm like, no, but I'm smart.
That's one of those things. Like, no, I'm not. I have intelligence.
And then I know that somewhere, if I try to defend myself, I'll spell something wrong, and they'll be like, oh, you spelled intelligence wrong. How ironic. Oh, no.
For the life of me, I almost have a panic attack every time I have to spell the word definitely.
Yeah, because
I'm a smart person. I'm smart. I definitely gets me every time. Coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Like
words,
anything with lots of repeating. I still to this day screw up I before E except after C. I still screw that up.
Well, that's not true though.
Yeah, because there are exceptions. Exactly. I always remembered weird is spelled weird. That's how I always remembered that one. like weird.
Of a Mosby strip
it's
of
a
spelling.
Circular logic. So I don't know. That's just little things like that bug me because I'm not great at English. But I will go out of my way to correct someone if they say like, oh, I'm doing good. I'm like, no, you're doing well. Superman does good, you know, like, so,
you know, I got into an argument with my father one time, cause I was leaving to go take a test
mm-hmm.
and he says, do good. You know, I think you mean do well. Mm-hmm. No. Do good. It's do well. I'm almost certain. No. Do good, as in do good things. You know, you want to argue. That's one of those things that you want to argue.
I've had that.
They're not wrong.
I've had that exact same argument with someone, I think it was my sister. And she was like, she goes, do good thing. She's like, do good. I'm like, do well. Do good things. I'm like, there. I cannot argue with that. Like, that is, you're it's kind of correct.
You
go to
argue and you're, nope. You ever choose to not argue with somebody because they're just too stupid to argue?
And, I was arguing with someone, and gosh, I don't want to rant on about this because I already did it so long when I was with that person. But I want to see what you think. I was arguing about someone the other day, a couple people, who I said if friction didn't exist, like life itself would not exist without friction. I mean, I have facts and stuff that I think are that I think would point to it, but they were just like, no, I'm pretty like we got into this whole. I don't mean to be that guy.
I think the most obvious thing is rolling. Things can't roll without friction. Mm-hmm. So while the most obvious example might be a car, you can also go back to like when they were building the pyramids, they moved those great big stones by putting them on logs and then rolling them. Mm-hmm. Well, if there was no friction, they couldn't roll them, then the pyramids never would have been built.
Well, yeah, my whole thing is... Science. I love doing that. I spell science. Every time I mention science, I always have to capitalize the entire word. And so my teachers hate that because they're like, no, that's not grammatically accurate. It's just slower case science. I'm like, no, it's science. And
we were being stupid in the apartment one night, and I burned, I don't know if you've ever done it, but I burned my arm with salt and ice.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about that. I haven't done that, but I heard it's painful.
It's not painful, but it leaves a bitch of a scar. Like, there's an outline on my arm right now of an ice cube, and there's a blister in the middle. So I go home that weekend. My mom's like, what happened to your arm? I burnt it. How'd you burn it with an ice cube and salt? She goes, how can you burn yourself with ice cube and salt? I'm like, in a word, science!
I love that.
Awesome, every time. I want a stamp that says that.
Just science.
Just
stamp so it on everything. Science. Everything is science. Everything. Oh gosh, I love it. I downloaded completely legally the entire series of Bill Nye the Science Guy, and they still like to me. I know they were meant for little kids, but they're still entertaining to me.
But he does it. He does. He is a true genius. It's amazing the way he breaks it down.
It is. It really is.
Like nowadays, if I'm confused about something I'm learning in calculus, I'll go to YouTube and watch a video about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm confused about something in science, you know, sure, there are the YouTube lectures, but there's also Bill Nye the Science Guy.
That is exactly like when a couple of months ago, I think, when they discovered the Higgs boson. You know what that is? You know when they did that?
Yeah.
I
don't know what it is, but yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I was like, what is this? And why is literally everywhere on the internet just talking about this? And so I looked up lots of videos. They were really, really complex. And I finally found one, and it wasn't Bill Nye. I wish it was. But I just found one video that was it tried to explain it to you, and it used like cartoons and just and a lot of like imagery that were just like, hey, this is this and that and you know, compare these two objects, and it was really nice. So I mean, I'm a very visual kind of learner, and that's what Bill Nye kind of really helped out with.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So
with me, it usually helps. I'm in physics now, and my teacher. He's one of the best teachers I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime he's ever talking about something, his arms instantly go up. Like when we were talking about like acceleration, he's talking about a fish with it. Her arms out like this, she's going slow. And then when she brings her arms in like this, she speeds up. And it's awesome because this is a class of like 250 people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're in an auditorium, but him down there doing whatever is way more interesting than the 20-foot screen projectors up on the wall.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. When you have someone... that because we've all had teachers that really didn't care what they were teaching about, but when you have that teacher who who's so into what they're teaching and, you know, what they're talking about that they just can't help but just do motions and stuff, you know, like they're really into it. That's what really gets me to be like, hey, I could actually learn something from this class rather than some guy just sitting up there at a podium, very monotone and like, all right, everyone, turn to your books and such.
Turn to page 394.
So,
well, I'm sure you've had things where, you know, somebody asks you a question about this and it's something that you love so much that you almost can't talk fast enough.
Yes.
You just want to get all of this information to this other person that you're tripping over your own words and you're not even saying anything because you're just so excited to be talking about it.
Absolutely. I've been accused a couple times of talking too fast. Like when I'm trying to, for example, this hasn't happened, but if someone were to be like, so who's this villain in the next Iron Man movie? I'd be like, well, and then I'll talk really, really fast. And they'll be like, okay, I'm even more confused than when you started. And you literally did not.
So his name is Tangerine, is it?
Yes, Tangerine. And I always tend to trip over because it is kind of that, and I chalk it up to having kind of a nerd brain where you're obsessed with something so much that you have to know every single detail about it, that when someone asks you something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when someone asks you something like, hey, what's this all about? You assume that they also want to know every single detail. And in reality, they just want to know like the gist of it. And you're just like, no, but that doesn't make sense unless you know all this. And then like you have to understand these characters do this and then all of this. And so I don't know.
My mother calls me out on that all the time. Cause like we were saying, I love movies. I love stories.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she'll ask me, let's go with Iron Man. What's mm-hmm. Iron Man about? Anybody else would say, oh, it's about Tony Stark. He's this billionaire and he gets captured and becomes superhero and saves the day. Me, I'm like, okay, well, it starts off with Tony Stark. He's in his Humvee. He's in his own Humvee. He calls it the Funvee. And his buddy Colonel James. It would take me an hour and a half to describe an hour and a half movie.
Yeah,
have to break it down.
Exactly.
And I would make the connections to other movies. There's a whiteboard involved.
Yeah, you have
just
like
to take notes.
You have pictures on your wall, and you draw like lines between them, like a conspiracy wall. You're like, these guys are connected this way, and I did that same thing.
Yeah. Speaking of conspiracy theories, I just want to throw. Yep. Just because you aren't paranoid doesn't mean they're not up to get you.
Oh, man. Mind blown.
Right? That's what that was.
Just
you couldn't tell.
Yeah, we do.
I don't have special effects that I can use on this podcast.
Yeah, we always do like the visual jokes for an audio podcast.
Oh, is this just audio?
Yeah, it is just audio.
Oh, I thought I'm Italian.
Oh, well, you can go ahead and describe yourself if you want to. Describe every feature of yourself. It might take like an hour and a half, but we got time.
Because then I'll have to be like, okay, I'll have to be, okay, what just happened was I took my hands and I put them in front of my face and I spread them apart really fast as if my mind were being blown.
I got you.
Because, you know, Italians talk with their hands.
It's like I'm there with him.
It's like one of those shows on the radio.
Radio, what's that? Is that like some sort of Blu-ray?
It's the future!
Oh, gosh.
Future!
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God.
Well, I want to say really quickly, because we do kind of have to wrap it up, but something that you said a while ago in this episode is it kind of struck home a little bit, because I'm the same way, where you're talking about Lord of the Rings, and you said you haven't seen them since you were like a really little kid, so you don't really like you remember them or right. whatever. So, and you have like a list of movies that you're working through. I am that exact same way. Like I do not remember most of Lord of the Rings, cause I only saw each movie like once, like when they first came out. And then like, it makes me feel young when I say things like, oh, I was just a little young
in my day.
Yeah. But then I feel old when I say things like Adventure Time. You mean Dexter's Lab? What's that? You know? So,
right. Like that makes me so feel, because I have a 10-year-old little brother. Mm-hmm. Anytime I go home, he's always watching these terrible, terrible shows.
Right.
That are they truly are terrible. I'm forced to sit through them. Like mm-hmm. the other day, Pirates of the Caribbean was on Cartoon Network, or what's become of Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
And the commercial breaks are all like 3 minutes long, and I'm just forced to sit through these commercial breaks. These terrible shows that mm-hmm. I have no interest in whatsoever, because I want to watch this awesome movie.
Yeah, and I don't know. I could go into long, long rants about shows these days, because I feel like we're living in a world where, or like a time where, there has never been worse shows on TV, but there's also never been better shows on TV at the same time. You know, where, like,
right? It's sort of weird, because now, you know, anything can be a show at this point, but at the same time, there are those breakout, like the Breaking Bads,
yeah,
and the Walking Dead.
Oh yeah,
they're great stories clouded by all these cookie cutter TV shows. You know that are what's popular. You know, I mean, my mother watches them, and I can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's fluff is all of this.
Exactly.
And so it's
yeah, it's like, you know, reality TV shows. I'm not a huge fan of. I've never been a huge fan of reality shows.
There are a couple that I will say are worth watching. I'm not talking about like your Jersey Shores and your 16 and Pregnant, but True TV actually has some really good ones.
Yeah, I like the True TV.
Like MythBusters is technically a reality show.
Yeah, but that's all about science.
Yeah, there's so much. But there's ones that like they'll follow around these guys who own a towing company, Lizard Lip Towing.
Yeah.
And it's all about how, you know, all these different idiots give them grief because they're towing their car. And there's ones like, you know, like with the Storage Wars and the pawn shop ones, you get to see all this really interesting things.
Yeah.
So it's definitely an interesting look into something that, you know, usually you don't get to see behind. But that's usually what I lean more towards rather than the fake tans. And
yeah, exactly.
And that. Yeah.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Well, unfortunately, we do have to, I do have to leave you, but it has been super fun talking about, I know.
But Scott!
Nick! it's been super fun having you on, and I hope you'll return, because
definitely.
Talk more about TV and stuff, because I would love to just have a big old conversation about that, because that's super fun.
Big old bowl of fun.
Big old bowl of science fun.
Science.
So, let's see. Do you have a Twitter?
I do, but I don't.
Okay. That seems to be.
Like I made it for some reason, and I haven't been on it in months.
Yeah, that seems to be every time I ask someone that, they're like, I have one, but I don't use it. So I usually just ask anyway, in case someone wants to plug their Twitter. I mean, if you want to anyway, you go ahead. But it's completely up to you.
It's at Nikki Bizzle. And I think that the I in Nikki is an exclamation mark. I don't know.
So spell that out. Do you think it's, so it's
N exclamation mark C K Y B I Z Z L E.
Okay. That's interesting.
I don't.
Well, that's fine.
I am on the Facebook.
You are.
Though,
yep.
Almost 10 hours a day.
That's true. It's becoming, I thought it would wear out eventually, but it's becoming more addictive for me.
So much. I don't even play any of the games.
I have never played a Facebook game.
Looking for something on there to be interested in.
Yep. And I read over posts like 8 times a day, be like, I've already read this one, but maybe I can find some way to make a funny comment on it or something. And just to have some sort of human interaction.
Typos, weep over them.
Yep. That's what it was. Cry in a corner. So I'm going to have to, I guess we're going to have to let you go. And, it's been great. Hope you do well in your next Quidditch game. Do you have anything you'd like to do more shameless plugs for? Cause that I totally love having those.
No Quidditch game this Saturday. Chapin starts at 12, make some digital noise for us. Keep us undefeated.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Sounds awesome. Right. Thank you so much for being on.
Definitely. Thank you.
All right. See you, man.
Hi, everybody. Scott here for the podcast that you are currently listening to with your ears to give you some exciting news that I just found out yesterday. The Nerd Sync podcast is officially sponsored. That's right. We sold out. But it's just because we want to keep the show free for you guys, and it's starting to cost us a lot of money. So this is really just for you guys. Who the heck would sponsor this podcast, you ask? First of all, your tone is very hostile. Can you please calm down? Second of all, we are being sponsored by Audible.com. Audible, as I'm sure you know, is the leading audiobook website there is on the planet. So if you guys like reading books, even if you don't like reading books, I don't particularly like reading books because I don't like to look at words, but these people say things to your brains, which is a better way, I think, for me to learn knowledge. They have books in all sorts of genres for everybody there is, so the best part, I feel like, is the narrators they get, because you have Doctor Who books that are narrated by David Tennant and Matt Smith and Tom Baker on their website. How cool is that? You have Star Wars books narrated by Mark Hamill and Billy Dee Williams. Come on, guys. Do I need to say more, really? Come on. So I know what you're thinking. How do I get in on this business? Sign up for a free 30-day trial. You guys get a free audiobook of your choice. World War Z is coming out. Catch up on that. You go do that, you'll be supporting our show so that we can keep it free for you guys, because we love you guys so much. And we would love you even more if you helped us out. That'd be just incredible. So go do that. Audiblepodcast.com/NerdSync. 30-day trial, free audiobook. You guys are awesome. We will catch you in the next episode. Peace, I guess. Is that still something people say? There's peace? All right, then. Later. You're frozen again, aren't you?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you were frozen. Never mind.
I was just listening attentively.
Oh, okay.
Can I just keep moving?
Yeah, just keep moving.
All during the podcast.
Yeah. That way I know I'm not alone.
All right.
No, you don't have to do that.
I'm kind of into it now.